The Financial Survival Network, helping you survive and thrive in the new economy. Go to carrielutz.com and sign up for 30 free micro trainings on financial survival.
This show is brought to you by Miles Franklin. They've been selling gold and silver for 22 years, and I'm a customer because when you buy, they ship. For more information, go to milesfranklin.com or call them at 800-822-8080. $14.90 WGCH. This is Kerry Lutz. You're listening to the Financial Survival Network. If you think that fracking is going to cause natural gas to come out of your pipes in your house or to blow up the world, well, you need to listen to Mickey Fulp, the mercenary geologist, to debunk these nasty myths and to give you the latest update on oil and natural gas. Mickey, welcome.
Thanks, Gary. Good to be here once again.
Always great to have you. So you sent me an article. There's a couple of towns, Vegas and in New Mexico, they want to ban fracking. What is with these Luddites?
Well, that's a good question. There was an ordinance passed in Las Vegas, New Mexico, which is a little burg. I don't know how many people live there, probably 15,000 people or so. It's an old city. It obviously dates from Spanish times here, but then it became a railroad town, and so it's out in the Eastern Plains, kind of borders the Front Range of the Rockies. And because it borders the Front Range of the Rockies, you're in the overthrust belt, and it has potential for oil and gas that has never really been exploited. But the city council passed a clearly unconstitutional ordinance a couple of weeks ago, which is directed specifically at the fracking industry. And even the city's lawyer and the lawyer for the organization that crafted this blatantly admit that it's unconstitutional, but it basically bans any kind of drilling of any kind, not only within the city limits of Las Vegas, but within the watershed that supplies drinking water for the town of Las Vegas. So anyway, it's led by a group, Pennsylvania-based nonprofit called the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund of Mercerburg, Pennsylvania.
That's a mouthful.
And yes, it is. And it appears to be directly connected to the people that produced Gasland, the film which won Robert Redford's Ecofascist Award at the Sundance Film Festival, and which is a mostly complete false indictment of the natural gas industry of the United States.
Yeah, it just amazes me the amount of ignorance that surrounds this whole industry. Because I talked to Byron King, he's been out in the fields just like you. In Pennsylvania, the amount of care that they take to make sure that the wastewater doesn't get dumped where it shouldn't be, to make sure that the casing on the wells is, the seal is perfect so that there's no seepage into the aquifer, and on and on and on. They exceed any environmental rules that have ever been passed. These companies don't want any grief. They're making, even with the depressed state of the natural gas market, they're making so much money. It's not in their interest to pollute the environment and to really turn people against them. And as a result, Pennsylvania's economy is doing a lot better than nearby New York, where the fracking has been put on hold.
Well, and it's not a new technology. I mean, hydrofracking's been going on for decades in the oil business. There are new techniques which allow better fracking being done. So increasingly, we are able to access more difficult reservoirs than was possible in, say, the 60s and 70s. And we've had advancements in the technology of horizontal drilling. Now people with GPS technology know exactly where boreholes are and what horizons they want to target. So technology has opened this up, but the idea of hydrofracking with sand and water and chemicals, that's been going on for a long time. This sort of grassroots environmental movement, the problem with it is it sprouts up everywhere. Evidently, according to this article out of the Albuquerque Journal, there are now 140 communities in the United States that are considering similar laws with the intent to challenge drilling operations and get these clearly unconstitutional ordinances in front of the Supreme Court. In the meantime, I mean, this just goes on to the fact that you can't get any natural gas infrastructure built in this country because of things such as this and environmental opposition to pipelines and storage reservoirs and separation plants. In the meantime, let's go a little bit into the current economics. Henry Hub now, every time we talk, it seems the Henry Hub gas price, spot price has dropped again. It's $1.88. Oil is maintaining spot price at $1.03. But again, each time we talk, the oil to gas ratio is reached another all-time high. It's now at 55. It's gone exponential. Probably a more concern right now is the storage of natural gas is up 57% year over year, now at 2.5 trillion cubic feet. We're getting to the point where we can't store any more natural gas, which is going to result in more shut-in wells. I've been tracking rig counts for quite some time now, and my assistant, James, a young geologist that works for me, does all the background work. But so we track also the oil rig to gas rig ratio, and that has now passed 2 for the first time since it's been tracked since the early 90s. The oil to gas rigs, to give you an example, the gas rig to oil rig ratio was 25.25 in September of 08. So the number of rigs has maintained a constant number, right around 2,000 rigs, but it's completely flip-flopped in that period of time. So, you know, we got Obama sitting in the Oval Office there and making forays on the campaign trail to places like Southeast New Mexico, where he says he wants to encourage natural gas drilling. Yeah, right. At $2, less than $2 a million BTUs, that's just ridiculous. You know, what this is really coming down to, a lot of gas companies have been able to stay in business because they had hedge books with gas prices locked in at $3 or $4 or $5 a barrel. Well, that's disappearing very quickly. Hedge books are disappearing. We're going to see a big downgrade of reserves this year with prices at less than $2. Most natural gas companies did their reserves last year at $3.50 to $4. And all this is going to result in more shut-in wells. So at some point, the gas industry will come back, but I don't see it anytime soon.
Yeah, well, what's keeping a lot of them afloat is the wet gas. They're shutting down the dry gas, the wet gas. They can just put into the regular oil supply, and they get close to the price per barrel that you get for a barrel of oil, right?
Yeah, that's called natural gas liquids. So
right.
One junior company that that I own, Canadian producer in the Peace River Arch. I had a meeting with them in Vancouver about 10 days ago, and last year their production was 75% oil and 25% gas. They have shut in all their wells now that are making gas, and they are opening the chokes on their oil wells, and their goal this year is to produce 100% oil. So wow, this is where it's going.
Yeah, well, it would be so nice if they started building power plants nearby to these natural gas wells, because it would lower their costs so much. And that's the other thing, you know, I don't know if you caught this. There is a guy from the nuclear power industry, just retired from a major nuclear operator, had like 13 nukes. And he said it makes no sense to build nuclear in the U.S. for the foreseeable future, as long as prices are below like $3.50 per million BTUs.
Well, that's probably true, but the lead time for building a natural gas power plant or converting a coal to a natural gas power plant, and a lead time for building a nuclear power plant are both very long periods of time. So projecting gas prices out 5 or 10 or more years is an exercise in mental masturbation, I would say. So
it could be hazardous to your wealth, put it that
exactly,
way.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, the long-term thinkers and the financial circles are very well, much appreciated, but projecting commodities prices in any time more than the short term is just ridiculous, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's like what Einstein said about interest rates, right? Relativity is real simple. Figuring out what interest rates are going to be, that's the hard thing. And I think that was probably apocryphal, but it does illustrate the point. But, you know, what you said about the new technology coming out, you have this propane gel that they're using to frack. And then when the well gets hit and it starts producing, you don't have the wastewater. It just brings back the propane, gasifies, comes out the well, and presto, no pollution. But there's like some nasty stuff down there in the well bed where they're drilling through also. A lot of chemicals there that Mother Nature created that you really don't want getting out in the environment. But in any event, yeah, there's probably not much hope for natural gas making a recovery. They have to be, if you own a natural gas company, you got to be going to bed every night praying that New York City gets buried under 5 feet of snow in September and doesn't peek its head out until June, because that's about the only thing that's going to save them.
Yeah, well, the gas business is obviously not going to recover this year. I would not want to project beyond this year, but the EIA, the Energy Institute of America, came out this week and downgraded its projection of prices significantly for 2012 and 2013. I think they say that natural gas will average $2.51 in 2012, and I'm not really sure, a little bit more than $3 in 2013, but at this point, it wouldn't surprise me if they downgrade those numbers again next month.
Yeah, probably right. The one thing that the numbers don't really take into account is take-or-pay contracts, which generally the utility, like a Con Edison in New York, would contract with Transcontinental Pipeline for the next 10 years at $4.50 per million BTUs, and then the pipeline in turn will do long-term take-or-pay contracts with the producers so that they will actually have that supply. So a lot of the supply, the prices are fixed in, but anybody selling into the spot or who just hedged and didn't do long-term contracts is getting their heads handed to them now, unlike their brethren in the oil industry who are cleaning clock every place they can produce a barrel, right?
That's absolutely. So you want to be in the oil business now. And that's one thing I'm looking at increasingly. with a market for natural resources basically in the crapper right now. The only two commodities that I see that are shining through, number one is, of course, graphite, which yeah. is the newest next big thing. And the other thing I'm looking at very hard right now are oil companies. And I'm looking at oil companies with little debt, which is one of the keys to finding a good oil company, in my opinion, is to find one without a lot of debt on the books.
Yeah, especially in these uncertain financial times where if you're over-debted and the prices drop all of a sudden, boy, you can be in big trouble and you might not make it. You might need to be acquired by a larger company looking to build reserves. So that debt ratio is really crucial. The other thing I like to see is high dividend yields, high distributions, because that's the one thing. You can fake earnings pretty good in this day and age, but you can't fake cash flow that you use to pay out dividends. And you can only borrow so much to meet your dividend, and then it's going to catch up with you.
That's correct, Gary.
Yeah, so you got any favorites out there we should know about?
In the oil business right now, a company I recently took a position in is called Arrowway Energy. Mm-hmm. It's ARW on the Toronto Venture Exchange. A small revolving line of credit, a goal this year to increase its production. They exceeded their production goal in 2011. Their goal this year is 1,200 barrel oil equivalent per day by the end of the year. They're at about 700 right now. And anyway, it got beat up pretty good over the last couple of weeks, and I had some stink bids in and ended up being a shareholder. And a fellow newsletter writer was on BNN this week, so it's made a recovery. It's added about a dime to its price, but it looks good to me. And so if you want an idea in the oil and gas business, you might want to check out ARW. I did, and I liked it. Mm-hmm. But once again, it's up to every individual yeah. speculator to do his own due diligence. And I am not you, and you and are exactly. not me, and what I like and what's appropriate for me to speculate and may or may not be for you.
Absolutely. That's the first thing. Anytime you're looking to invest any money, do your due diligence. Don't take anybody's word for it, because everybody's in a different position economically, financially, and investment goal-wise. And just going back to something, because you might not be aware, stink bid. Just define a stink bid so that you understand what, so people will understand what that is.
Well, a stink bid is a bid to buy stock at a price significantly less than it's trading at now. And it is a way, if you like a company based on its fundamentals in a down or a bear market, it is a way to acquire that stock at a price that you choose based on a risk reward profile on your own due diligence. You say, I want to own this stock at this price. If it makes that price, then you're a happy shareholder. And if it doesn't, well, then it never met your risk reward profile as a speculation. So it's a way that to acquire stock at downtrodden prices, and for me it's worked very well. I commonly will put in three or four stink bids on a company I like and sit back, and if they get filled, fine, and if they don't, then I'll move on to something else.
There's always another, right? And that's what some people refer to as sell stops, just like you have buy stops rather.
Yeah,
that's what they refer to as buy stops, because you have a sell stop where if the stock goes below a certain point, it's sold out automatically, no emotion. And the converse is put in a stink bid, a buy stop. So if there's a pullback, you get to buy that stock at a really good price, and it took all the emotion out of it. And anytime you could take emotion out of investing, you're going to be better off. Trust me on that one, because every time I've lost money, it's always because my emotions ruled, which is why I can't be a trader, because I don't have the emotional temperament for it. You know, I just don't. I know man's got to know his limitations, and I know mine.
Well, that's another important part of speculation, is knowing your strengths and weaknesses, and it sounds like you know those very well. Oh, here.
It's so important. Can't emphasize that one enough. It is crucial. It's the only way you can make money, especially in these markets, which are insane and so volatile. They're all over the place. So you need discipline. And I'm not talking about whips and chains. I'm talking about buy stops and sell stops and take the emotion out of it. So, Mickey, we got anything else to cover this week, or we off till the monthly wrap-up?
Well, I think we're off till the monthly wrap-up. I've exhausted all my knowledge. This has been a trying week for most Americans, for me, doing my books and getting the numbers on how much I have to write a check to Uncle Sam for on Monday has preoccupied me all week. And but that's done now. It's in the hands of the CPA. So all I have to do is wait for the bad news on Monday. In the meantime, I wish everybody a pleasant spring weekend, and shy of hoping for a snowstorm in New York City, which I don't think any of us want at this point.
No.
We'll just deal with low natural gas prices for the foreseeable future.
Hey, well, one bad winter around the country can turn that supply situation around really quickly, because it's only a few years ago we were looking at $12, $14 per million BTUs, right?
Well, and that's what they still look at in Asia, not much less than that in Europe. But once again, the problem with natural gas in North America, and really in most parts of the world, it's a landlocked commodity.
Yeah, so, local market. So, all right, yes, Mickey, sir. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks, and we'll see what April will bring, or will have wrought. All right.
Will have brung, or will have wrought, or however we want to see it. Say it, Carrie. I look forward.
All right. You be well.